Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 7, right, of Come Get Your Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Adam, and also, as always, joining me is...
I am your middleest host, Dustin.
I am your last host, but probably the most favorite, Chris.
You're my favorite
at
heart.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a fan. They want t-shirts and everything. I've heard it.
I like your confidence with that. Probably your most favorite host. Yes.
I don't want to assume. I'm a very humble person.
I probably got this.
Yeah.
I'm a very humble person.
Hey, man. I like it. I like it.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing excellent.
It's been a little busy for all of us, I think.
Yeah, it's been a busy,
as always.
It's been a busy couple weeks.
As always, but
it's like it's the not so calm before the storm.
Yes. Yes. I think we were talking about that earlier, where I think it just feels like we're taking a small little break. We're not playing as much as we are used to, just because we know there's something coming soon that's going to take up a lot of our time.
I think that season is upon us, because the Call of Duty World War II beta just released, and that's usually the signal that, you know, everything's about to drop.
Yeah, yes. That's the gaming bat signal.
Yes, it is.
Which, I don't know how you guys feel about the next Call of Duty. It looks interesting. I don't think I'm going to get it, but I like that they're going back to World War II, at least.
I know. Yeah. I've always stated, if they would just release the single-player campaign separately, I'd buy it, probably. Because the multiplayer, I have no interest in Call of Duty multiplayer anymore.
See, I'm opposite. I think Adam and I, because we played quite a bit of Black Ops 2 and Black Ops 3, and it... I don't know. I didn't purchase the last one, so I'm still going to kind of wait and see what this one is like before I jump into it. I don't even know if I'm going to download the beta, to be honest with you.
Well, it's a closed beta right now. I don't know when they're doing open beta. Probably closer to, it usually drops in November.
But yeah, sure.
They might have changed that up. I don't know. Looks interesting. I don't know who whatever the campaign is going to be this time around. I don't know which super famous... right now actor they're gonna have
yes
in it.
Somebody else from Game of Thrones, if they can.
I'm gonna say last time it was Jon Snow.
Guess what, guys?
What?
What's
this
that?
Guy pre-ordered a Super Nintendo Classic.
You did.
Oh, you got one. That's right.
You
I
did.
I did get one.
Did you frantically F5 Target's website?
I didn't even have to F5 it. I was just like, there was a pre-order button, and it would say sometimes like, this is out of stock. But it wouldn't say, like, the button wouldn't go away, or it wasn't, like, right now it says coming soon. It would just say pre-order. And if you kept clicking it, eventually you would add it to your cart, and you could order it. Now, I did read that some people were pretty unlucky with the adding to your cart, where it was in the cart, but then it disappeared.
Yeah, I didn't went to check out.
I did not experience that. And
so
either
you,
did...
You got one.
I got one, and so did three of my coworkers who did the same thing I did.
Very nice.
Yeah, very, very nice.
It's coming October 5th. I'm pretty excited. And I laugh at myself because that morning, me and my coworkers were talking about it. I'm like, I don't think so. And then like an hour later, I recanted. I'm like, if it was available and I could get it, I'd buy it. And then about 2 hours later, I fucking bought one. So that's how that day progressed.
Slow descent into convincing yourself this is necessary.
Yes. When is that supposed to ship?
It's releases September 29th. Okay. Target says I'm supposed to get it about October 5th. And I keep on checking probably every other day to make sure it's still in my order history. Because when I
you're
did...
You're nervous, huh?
Going to pull a Walmart? Is that what you're worried about?
Yeah, because I did buy it. And that... Like, when I bought it, I got a hold of Target's customer service, like, online chat. And was like, I just need to confirm that I got this order. And she's like, let me check. And she goes, yeah, it looks like you got it. I'm like, so I need you to 100% answer me right now.
Screenshot.
Yeah, and I'm like, and then afterwards I said that. I was like, so this conversation is recorded, right? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, we're good then.
We're all good. All right, man. You'll have to let us know how it is.
It's really
cool.
Small. I mean, I'll let you guys know how it is. I'll bring it over. You know,
it's small. It's discreet.
Yeah, dude.
It'll fit in your purse.
It'll fit in my little stash.
It's a satchel.
But besides that, how are you guys doing?
Good. I'm excited that you sent me a link to they're releasing Secret of Mana on current gen consoles.
And it's not just 3D'd? Yeah, I must say, it's not just Secret of Mana. It's like a redone one.
I don't know how I feel about the 3D thing. I'm okay with it, but like at the same time, the reason I wanted it again was so I could play the, you know, 2D RPG. Because that was so much fun. I spent a lot of my freshman year in college playing that with three other friends on an old SNES. And it's amazing. I love that game. So I'm excited it's coming out again. We'll see. I don't know. Part of me thinks they might have an like most rescanned things, they usually have an option in there for you to, you know, de-res it more or less. But we'll see what they do this time.
It's exciting. I mean, it really seems like a retroactive like game explosion has been happening lately, and I love it. I do enjoy it a lot.
The push for that, either re-releasing or rescanning is another way to put it, I guess, but it does seem to be the trend, and I don't mind that at all either. Because, what was it? It released a couple weeks ago, right after we recorded last time, right?
Which one?
Sonic Mania.
Yeah. Very shortly after. I think it was only a couple days after we stopped recording. Sonic
Mania.
Yeah, because like that one, I knew it was coming. I didn't know it was coming that fast, which.
There was a very short turnaround time from like, hey, we're doing this, to, hey, it's out. Download it, please.
Yeah, it was like, I had seen that it was coming out in a few days. I was like, wow, really? And then that day at work, I remember, like, I bought it at work and had it downloaded to my PlayStation while at work. And I'm like, hey, guys, I'm leaving an hour early today.
You can play Sonic.
And I did. I had to watch my nephew. I'm lying. Nope. I haven't played Sonic.
So you just give him a controller that wasn't turned on. Be like, you're helping.
Hey, yeah, you're doing your Tails. But he really wasn't Tails.
As a non-Sega kid, like, I had played Sonic several times at friends' houses, either on Game Gear or an actual Genesis, who owned Sonic, and I liked it a lot. And this seems like a very faithful recreation, while adding some things, too. So, if you haven't, for some reason, haven't heard about it, it's called Sonic Mania, and it's basically Sonic 1, 2, and 3 with Knuckles. Updated, so it's still the same, like, 16-bit, you know, Sonic-looking, old Sonic game-looking stuff, but it's a lot smoother textures, and everything's a lot more crisp.
It's the Sonic tried and true formula of old school Sega, like Sega Genesis style. It's a new story, so it's not like it's the old ones all put together into one game. It's done by fans as well. I think we should point that out, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Yeah, it's a fan project that turned into real good stuff.
It is so amazing that Sega let that happen. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
If it was Sega, I don't know who even owns them anymore, but. And the fact is that they incorporate new levels, which were made, and also they have old levels in it, too. And just right away, like, your first level that you play is Green Hill Zone from Sonic 1. I was like, fuck yes. I'm like, I'm in, 100%. Hell yeah. Classic music is still in there. They have new music, of course, but it just, so many feels when you're playing it.
Which, not to dismiss it too much, but the music is amazing.
Oh gosh,
especially all the new stuff.
Even really the new stuff is fantastic, but having some of those old tracks in there, like, that's just nostalgia just like hitting you like overload. A fucking truck.
Yeah, and so it like finally have a chance to like have a Sega game, or, you know, not a Sega game, a Sonic game in my hands and actually able to play it whenever I want was a big draw for me to get it. And it's only $20 too on consoles, which is a great deal for what you're getting, and right now it'll be way over by the time this episode comes out, but it's 10% off on Steam, so if you play it on Windows, you can do that too.
$18.
Save yourself a couple pennies.
But it's nice that they did that. They put it on sale because it was delayed 2 weeks for PC.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's great that they even did that, because, I mean, obviously it was buggy then.
Yeah.
So
the controls feel exactly the same, which is good and bad, because the controls aren't exactly what were never the best part about Sonic. But
no.
They function all right.
I don't know. All this is making me want to go buy it. It's because, I grew up as a Sega kid playing Sonic 1, 2, and 3. I played all of those as a kid.
Misty, I got Misty into Stardew Valley, which she has been playing almost nonstop, and she took over my PlayStation with it. Damn it. But it's, I mean, I can just lay in bed because I bought it for Switch, so I can just lay in bed, and it's like I'm playing it on Game Gear again when I was a kid. It's nice feelings.
Man, I still remember.
You played it on the Game Gear?
There was a Sonic game on Game Gear, and my friend had it, a Game Gear.
I also owned a Game Gear, but I didn't have Sonic for it. Man, I missed my Game Gear.
I had a Game Gear, and I remember going to like one of my sister's basketball games when I was a kid, and we had a friend that had the attachment for the Game Gear for the Game Gear TV, and I thought it was the coolest fucking thing in the world.
One of my friends had that for the Game Boy. That was amazing for the, because you plug it into the Super Nintendo.
Yes.
You could play Game Boy games on that. And then also, I think there was an actual attachment eventually.
Yeah, it's like Super Game Boy or something.
Yeah. But the nice part about it, having it on Switch now, is I don't need 6 AA batteries constantly at my side to replace the Game Gear.
I was just going to ask. I was like, I had my Game Gear for road trips to, you know, vacations to Florida, 22-hour car rides, and you needed spend a whole...
$30 on batteries.
You needed a whole lot of batteries. That thing would die quickly.
Well, you could have it plugged into the wall and charging and stuff like that, but then they had the brick AC adapter that got oh so hot.
Very, very hot.
God, I just remember those things just being massive for any system, basically. Like those power blocks.
I mean, Xbox still has a giant brick.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, doesn't Xbox still, like, PlayStation just has, like, a power cord, like a normal one.
A normal power
cord. But Xbox has, like, a massive fucking power brick.
Yeah, the Switch has, it's not anywhere near as beefy as the Xbox One's power source, but it's bigger than most.
Man, the guy...
It's not super intrusive.
Buddy at work was really trying to sell me on the Switch. I'm like, I get it, man. You love it. It's for you. Don't get me wrong. It looks great. For me, not now. Because we were talking about Sonic Mania. He goes, yeah, I'll be able to play it whatever I want. So I'm like, yeah, but I don't need to do that.
You can also play it whenever you want on PlayStation. It's just
yeah.
A little less likely you'll be, you know, out and about and play.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not traveling anywhere. And I told him, I'm like, dude, you don't go anywhere either. Who are you trying to fool?
But in case I do.
Yeah, that was his argument. He's like, well, because I do want to go out. I'm like, well, why are you bringing your Switch?
Say the Sonic on the Switch will be a little nicer because it doesn't drain the battery like Breath of the Wild does.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and also technically you could just download Sonic on your phone. It's in the it's in the App Store. It's just not Sonic Mania, but it is Sonic and Tails. So you technically could play it wherever you want to go.
There's a little Easter egg in Sonic Mania, too, where it's... I think you have to unlock it somehow, but you get Sonic and Knuckles. But then they made it so it's Sonic and Knuckles and Knuckles.
What? Okay.
Because you know how like for Sonic 3, there was the and Knuckles.
Yes.
Cartridge. Basically, they put a little Easter egg in there where
that's nice.
Sonic and Knuckles and Knuckles
and Knuckles.
Also, I found someone has made a PC mod. Not for Sonic Mania, but just for someone did like an emulator for Sonic and made a mod for it where everything is Knuckles. Your Knuckles, Tails is Knuckles, all the bad guys are Knuckles, all the bosses are Knuckles in mech suits.
All that reminded me of was...
A lot of textures are Knuckles.
All that reminded me of was the Doom level that was just Tim Allen.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah. I need to watch that video again.
But man, Dustin, yeah, I would, you being a Sega kid and playing Sonic when you were younger.
Yeah.
Was Sonic out in the 70s?
I fucking briefly. I hate you so much.
This is like the last part of 79.
Fuck you, man.
No, but I would, for $20, it is definitely worth it.
Yeah, and I'd say it sounds
next
like
next time we hang out.
I was gonna say it sounds like it's legit difficult, like the old Sonic games used to be.
Yeah, it's really difficult. It's like a lot of parts anyway, or it's challenging.
Yeah,
Part of that's because of the controls, but I can sweep that to the side enough because it is actually challenging.
And even like the special level, like they have a new way of getting the Chaos Emeralds, right? Mm-hmm. And even those are the first two are like easy, but the third one I only beat once and it just kicks my ass. Like I can't get it.
I'd say next time we hang out, either depending where we're at or if you're coming over, I'll just bring my Switch out
and yeah.
you can try it out.
Yeah, because I think we were talking about it before we started recording. It's got the local multiplayer, yeah, just local like multiplayer. Before. Yeah, that's... I could get down on some Sonic. Sonic and Tails.
Must go fast.
Gotta go fast.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully my Switch won't bend. Have you guys seen that? Switches, like, people are reporting that their Switches are bending.
No.
And being stuck that way. Like, it's, like, curved now. Because I thought it made sense in my mind that this was happening because people were playing it handheld mode, like a Game Gear, and leaving the brightness all the way up and playing something like Breath of the Wild or ARMS or something like that where it's really CPU intensive. And so it was heating up. Sure. And I thought just because of the way your hands are, like they were slowly being bent. But apparently it's from playing it in docked mode for a lengthy period of time and it heating and somehow getting warped inside the dock, which makes no sense to me.
Really? I mean,
because the way the dock is, it's like it's a slit that's a little bigger than the Switch because you can just slide it in there and then it sits on two little connector ports that, you know, charge it and then take the, you know, the picture from the console and put it on your TV. So I don't know how it's bending in there, but apparently that's what's causing it. Mine's still fine. So I don't know if it's just isolated incidents, but there's several hundred people like were reporting that it was happening to them, which seems like a little more than it should be.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully Nintendo does something about that for those people.
Yeah, hopefully, but who knows? Because they had the problem too with the when it first came out with the left Joy-Con, where it would unsync from the console and you couldn't get it paired again until like you had to turn it off and on, and the console off and on, and do a bunch of stuff, and eventually it would reconnect. And their solution was like, okay, send us these faulty Joy-Cons. And so people did that, and then they got it sent back. And the only thing Nintendo did was add a little, like, quarter-inch piece of foam inside the controllers. So just because it was something to do with the Bluetooth connector in there that wasn't getting the signal.
Well, it seems like these similar problems have happened to Nintendo in the past. I don't remember something with the Wii U, but the controllers for the original Wii, people would throw them or the wrist straps would break.
Wrist straps would break,
yeah. And
which and led then, to a bunch of really funny YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Well, I think most of the times if they didn't break, people just weren't even putting them on.
That was another part of it.
And then they would just launch their controller. But yeah, that's kind of weird that they think it's bending within the dock. Because I like what you were saying, I would think it's more along the lines of
and just the pressure from your hands would cause it to warp like that. I don't know. Because, I mean, there is nothing in ways of keeping that the actual console cool when it's docked because it's, you know, the slit's big enough, barely big enough to fit the Switch in there. There's nowhere for heat to go. So, I mean, it makes sense, but at the same time, I don't know. It doesn't. It's weird.
Well, hopefully you don't experience that.
Hopefully not. I'll keep you guys updated, though.
I'm sure you tell somebody, like, fuck.
And send a picture of it.
Hey, guys, I got one of those curved screens.
Yeah.
Those are all the rage now, right? You pay a lot of money.
Well, hopefully, I was going to say, hopefully that heartbreaking event doesn't happen to you. Like, a recent heartbreaking event happened to a lot of people.
Is it heartbreaking, though?
For some people, it is like.
Yeah, I guess so.
I went to work and somebody said it was a heartbreaking for them, and I was like, really? Okay.
Well, 10 years ago, either I don't know if it's already been passed or it might be upcoming very shortly. 10 years ago, Half-Life 2 Episode 2 released, and that was the last we've heard from Gordon Freeman or anybody from that world.
Well, is this 10 years ago when Half-Life 2 came out, or when was Episode 2 released?
10 years ago.
Was it episode 2? Okay.
Yeah, it was 2007.
Okay.
And because Half-Life 2 released in 2006.
Okay.
Was episode one, and then episode two was a year later, 2007, and then nothing. And every once in a while, you get somebody would tease it or do a really good mock-up of what Half-Life 3 was going to look like, or episode 3 was going to look like. And the internet would go crazy for a week, and then it would die down, and no one would ever hear anything until the next time something came up. But what was it, yesterday or the day before?
I think it was yesterday.
Yesterday, so yeah, the 25th of August, the writer for Half-Life 1 and Half-Life 2 and episode 1 and 2 of that kind of did like a fan fiction-y version of what Half-Life 2 episode 3 would play out like. And he did it as like a blog post, right? From, well, it's funny because he changed all the names slightly to avoid some legal troubles, I'm assuming, with Valve, but...
It's smart.
Yeah, the writer, Mark Laidlaw, kind of gave closure to some people and apparently broke some hearts at the same time.
I mean, I know this would come to as a surprise to you guys, but I never played Half-Life 1.
But
I currently own Half-Life 2 and have mm-hmm. played it. And I haven't.
I just the more I'm friends with you, the more I'm just always just disappointed.
Not mad.
Just a little disappointed.
I mean,
it's in my Steam.
I think we need to sit down and make a list of games that you have to play and beat. Like from order of
we
which
have.
I but not only your official one, we've told him. And he's done like Last of Us, I know that. And did you end up did you beat Wolfenstein?
No, I'm still currently playing it. I just haven't played it much in the last 2 weeks.
Because you're writing a 10-page paper.
Yeah, I'm writing a 10-page paper.
Is that done yet?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I finished that.
Wow. I like the style that Laidlaw gave it out as, because he changed the names, but it's very obvious who's who and what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And then someone, a fan, just changed all the names and right, then released their version of it, which is everyone's proper names because they're not under some DMCA.
My favorite one is that Alex Vance was changed to just Alex with a different spelling.
But what they venture to Antarctica, right?
Yes.
And they're looking for a ship?
The Borealis.
Borealis. Yeah. Okay. And then everything kind of goes south, and Gordon Freeman basically sacrifices himself. But at the last second, a portal opens, and he's transported and wakes up on a beach, if I am remembering that correctly. You guys read it more recently than I have.
Well, it's like something like that, but then he's like, it's something with the aliens teleported him.
Yes.
And That was like it. Then he's like, "This is the final. This is the last you'll hear from me." And I don't know if we want to get into spoiler. You know, because it's a story. Because it could not even be real.
For this episode 3 thing or episode 2, because it's been 10 years.
No, it's episode 3 thing.
Okay.
But Alex, the G man, showed up, the dude in the suit, and Alex knew him.
Oh.
Yeah,
I forgot about that. Yeah,
and
I read
it yesterday. Then all of a sudden, she was just like, it like clicked for her, and then she just like listened to him completely. So
the stories of 1 and 2 were actually really good. Mark Laidlaw is a fantastic writer, and not that long ago, he left Valve to pursue writing his own stories, and I don't know if it
will, because it's not like he was writing for Valve anymore. Fuck's sakes.
Yeah, I don't know if he was pursuing books that he was writing or screenplays or what, but he wanted to start doing his own thing, which, you know, I can respect that. And then I guess because it has been 10 years since 2, one of the hush laws that he was under was probably over, and but he probably just can't use Val's properties, like the names.
So. Yeah.
I liked it. Like I can see why some people will be upset about it. Because it's just another, like, notion of, like, this is never going to happen now. Like, for sure, this is never going to happen now.
Yeah, it's a, it probably won't, unfortunately. And I know we kind of joked about this before the podcast, but It's like they don't like threes in games. Like Portal 3, Left 4 Dead 3, Half-Life 3, and then, I mean, Dota 3
is Dota's technically happen, never going to get a third one, probably, with the rate they keep updating Dota 2.
Yeah.
So it's disappointing, but, I probably get it, you know. Their plate's really full, and...
I guess, but, like, they moved a lot of the people who were working on Half-Life over to Dota and other projects within the company. Like, does Dota have that much of a story? I've never really played it.
I don't have a story.
No, but I'm not surprised with it, given the popularity of Dota and all the tournaments and all that shit, that they would maximize, you know, all hands on deck sure. as much as possible. You know, like I'm not surprised.
That's where their money was, and then making hats for Team Fortress 2, which there's another sure. there's another non
yeah, there's another three. Yeah.
I think with something like with Half-Life 3. It just, they kind of fell into, like, I'm sure they really wanted it, you know, to make it early on. And then as the years just kept passing by, eventually, the hype for a certain game is just going to make it.
Well, yeah, just look at Duke Nukem Forever.
Right. It's never going to be good enough. So it's like, at this point, let's just move on, you know?
I will say this, since you haven't played Half-Life 1, Dustin. You can play it on my computer, or I don't know how much it costs, but if you get the Black Mesa game, it's Half-Life 1 reskinned to textures that are more like from 5 years ago. I think it came out like 5 or 6 years ago.
Sure.
So it looks and probably runs a lot better than the first Half-Life, because that came out in 1998, which is fucked up, because that's almost 20 years ago. It's gonna be 19 years old this November, so Christ.
It's a good storytelling game.
I want to say we've talked about Black Mesa before on Steam and how I probably should buy it. I want to say we've talked about it before.
It was during the Steam summer sale. It was on sale.
That's right, so long ago. But
I don't know, maybe I could check it out.
Tell you what, I'll share it, and you can play it through Steam Family stuff sometime.
Yeah.
When you're ready.
And I enjoyed Half-Life 2. I wasn't like I didn't enjoy it. It's just, I mean, it's probably been 7 or 8 years since I've even played it. I just, you know, it was just something I played on my computer and then moved on to different things. But maybe that's just because I never played the first one. Because I didn't have that.
You are
that, kind like,
of jumping
oh,
in.
I need to finish this story. I was like, oh, well, this is cool. It's a first-person shooter, whatever. And then I'm just like, I didn't have that background, like, need to finish the second game.
So Half-Life 2 is when Dustin's habit started of playing games.
Trace this back.
And
I mean, I also own Portal 2. Never played Portal 1. Never beat Portal 2.
Portal 2, you can play the multiplayer.
I would love to play multiplayer with Portal 2 sometime. It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
I'd do it.
It's solid.
I would do it.
Portal 1 is still amazing.
I would like to play Portal 1. I did enjoy Portal 2. It was like, oh, it's a puzzle game. I never got to play it multiplayer, so maybe that would even help, because that sounds
cool. It's fun because you got to work together and do puzzles. And man, that... I'm in the games where you do, you know, especially getting older, like I want to keep the mind sharp as much as I can, right? And I know that sounds dumb, but it's a fear of mine, because like my parents are going through like memory issues right now, and I'm like, fuck, I gotta get ahead of that game fast. So I like to play puzzle games, anything that keeps the mind sharp, and Portal 2 will do that. Sure. That shit, it can be hard at the end.
The last half of Portal 2 co-op is
fucking hard.
Mind fucky.
Hey man, if either of you ever want to get down on some Portal 2
anytime
co-op mode, I'll reinstall anytime. It right now. I don't care. I'll play.
I just wish, you know, I don't think they're ever going to release Half-Life 3. I mean, I came to that conclusion years ago, but now I think it's even more cemented, the fact that this came out. And I think a big thing is, just like you said, like it's going to be so overhyped when it comes out. People be like, oh, this isn't what I remember, you know? Right. And that's okay, man. Fucking release some books or something to them.
There was a time, oh God, a quick segue. Speaking of books and comic books and stuff like that, as I think in the last episode we talked about the rumor that Mass Effect Andromeda was going to be possibly shutting down most of their stuff, but a couple of devs are like, no, like we're still going to be working on it.
They weren't wrong, technically.
They weren't wrong, but in the past week it was announced that all the single player stuff for Mass Effect Andromeda is in the can now and never going to be a thing for a game. However, they will be continuing the story via novels and comic books. So,
excuse me for a second, guys, but fuck!
I knew that was coming.
So,
because it's, oh my gosh, like, I don't get me wrong. We've talked about it in the past, but I'm going to really quickly. I get to understand people's grief with it. You know, it did have a rough start. It could have been, if they would have left it and not released it for months later, it would have been better. But graphic glitches aside, the problems it had, it was such a fun game. And I just think it was just people bitching and how you can't fucking please anybody in the fucking games industry. It doesn't matter. There's going to be bitching about whatever little thing it's going to be. And that
goddamn millennials.
Yeah, seriously, EA took that criticism probably to heart, and it's like, well, obviously this isn't going to be, you know, what we want it to be. Fuck, let's cut our losses. Well, you know,
that'll be the first time EA has ever taken criticism to heart, because normally they don't give a shit.
Yeah, well, they. I think it's partially because of the lukewarm release and reception of it. I mean, I think it had like a 71 on Metacritic, which isn't bad by any means, but it's not what they were expecting for sure.
But
it's a fun game. I don't understand. Why people complain about it other than the, you know, some of the glitches and stuff. But like, when did Mass Effect 3 come out?
2013.
Yeah. So
I mean. The thing, though, is that, you know, people were complaining about it, and it did get a lukewarm reception at first because it wasn't development for a long time. But, I mean, Clark, you saw me play it. I was streaming it live when it first came out, and I loved the combat way better than the original Mass Effect series. It was more
can't actually attest for 3, but yeah, it looked a lot more like intense.
I mean, you're sitting there and you're just like, you could. I'm a combat person. I'm not really a biotic person. I think Dustin, you are biotics mainly. And man, you're just running, gunning. People are coming at you. You got this little jetpack boost thing, and you can just scoot quickly to the left or right, dodge and fire. And it was just so fun.
Who doesn't like jetpacks?
And challenging, you know. And yeah, it had its graphics problems. Don't get me wrong, but it was. I liked it.
Mass Effect 3 came out on March 6th, 2012, by the way.
Wow. Fuck.
Yeah, so you got to think, it was 5 years. So, like, that's bringing it back to Half-Life 3 twice that amount of time.
Yeah.
Before the last one, like, you couldn't satisfy the Mass Effect fans waiting 5 years for this new game to come out. There's no way, especially with all the jokes, Half-Life 3 confirmed, all that shit. All like, it's just, yeah, at this point, it has snowballed so hard.
Yeah, they're well beyond it now.
It's impossible. Yeah, so like, even before this came out, I never expected Half-Life 3 to ever come out and get rid of this. There's no way.
So somebody brought up something, a good idea on Reddit that's probably going to happen now that the supposed story got leaked from Half-Life 3. And that's the...
Someone's
going to mod it. And someone's going to fucking create this shit.
Episode 3.
Yeah, well, it's...
Half-Life 2 episode
3. Half-Life 2 episode... Not Half-Life 3. Yeah, Half-Life 2 episode 3. So, I mean, that's a good point.
Yeah, actually, someone could mod it, probably. Because
it's not necessarily Half-Life 3. It's Half-Life 2 episode 3.
Right.
I think that's smart. Yeah. A good thing to consider.
You have... when you have a dedicated fan base, like, you get stuff like Sonic Mania. So, I mean... It wouldn't surprise me if that comes out. Whether Valve allows it to happen is another thing.
Sure.
Because a lot of fan projects usually get shut down as soon as they announce it. Mm-hmm. There's actually a really cool Mega Man game, quote unquote, where it's Mario Maker. It's that with Mega Man. So someone released it. It's free. It's on PC, but it'll probably get shut down if it hasn't already.
Yeah, that happened to, there's a Pokemon game that the same thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it, they just don't like, they don't like that shit because it's stealing from their intellectual property. IP. And
yeah.
Just release the mod of episode 3 with all the fake names that he wrote in the original time.
There you go. And then before I'm sure someone can release another mod where if you have that installed, it switches everybody's name to the proper names.
Yes.
Throw it up on Nexus mods and just let it go. It'll be fine.
Someone will recreate it in Halo 5 Forge.
There's some crazy shit people are doing.
Yeah, they did a Duck Hunt one. I was like, God. What? Holy shit. But it's, I don't know. There's also a rumor or a theory that somebody put out there that they're leaking episode 3 because they want to just, you know, they're like, we're not going to be able to make it. It's not going to please anybody. So we'll leak the story. And then now we're going to release Half-Life 3. You know?
I mean, I can't see that happening, but who knows? I mean,
yeah.
You never can tell anymore.
But like you were saying, with the success of Sonic Mania, maybe that could change some people's minds. Yeah. Let the fans take control of it and do it responsibly, and then
I mean, they let Black Mesa happen, so
yeah. I mean, you come out with a great product, people will buy it.
Yeah.
Just offer it on Steam, you still make money.
I was gonna say they could license it technically.
Valve's not too harsh when it comes to their IP. No. They have shut some stuff down. Don't get me wrong, but like they're not Nintendo. Nintendo will shut down anything.
Oh, God, yeah. They're
relating to their IP.
They are very protective.
With the short amount of time that I have had to play games lately, it has been spent in Overwatch.
Yeah, right? I've been playing a lot of Overwatch.
You know, Lucio Ball came back, and I think you guys saw me in action in Lucio Ball.
Yeah.
So, I like Lucio Ball, but it was really janky the last time I played it. Today seemed to go okay, surprisingly. And maybe it's just because I know how to play better, I don't know, but it was really janky for a while and was upsetting to me.
I really enjoy it, and I was just telling Clark this earlier today that I'm like, I wish I would have tried competitive a little bit, but I didn't really have the time often to do it. Like, the times I messaged you guys, I'm like, you guys want to play some Overwatch? I maybe played for like maybe an hour, if that, you know, and that was kind of a break in between editing, just to refresh my mind.
Yeah, just to take a break.
Yeah, right? And it's just Overwatch is, it's just, you know, it grabs me. And I get those like times where I just really want to play it a lot, and then I'll go through like a break with it. But the new,
I almost always want to play it.
Yeah,
almost always.
Except for last week, you're like,
well, no, yeah, this week Overwatch. I didn't get hop on any PC stuff this week. I mainly just laid in bed, played Sonic Mania or Metal Gear, but that's besides the point.
But
They're changing a lot of stuff coming up.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I know we had talked about in the last episode, like, changes to Junkrat, Roadhog, and Widowmaker, but they're doing even more changes. Two heroes are getting some big changes. Mercy's getting dramatic changes, I think. And
well, they're completely changing how she plays.
Oh, yeah. Which,
completely.
Which I don't mind because
for the better, yeah. It's good. They seem like good changes.
Fucking nothing frustrates me more than a 4 or 5 person res after you wipe out their whole team. That is so infuriating.
And then you have a Mercy come in with her ultimate ability to resurrect players in a certain radius, and all that hard work you did just goes down the fucking drain in a second.
Mm-hmm. Immediately.
But now they're moving her, they're changing her ultimate completely, while shifting her current one to a more passive ability, but an active ability that respawns. But now, instead of being able to res an entire team, you can pick one player who is dead and resurrect them.
Which is no longer an alt. You can use it every 30 seconds for one person.
And then that's a little more balanced. And then what else? Her new ultimate ability is called Valkyrie, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
And basically, it will allow you to res people faster than the 30 second cooldown, so that helps out. You can fly around. She has these amazing wings, so it makes sense that she can be able to fly wherever she wants to. And what else? Her gun's getting a buff.
Her gun's doing twice the damage
in that when you use your ultimate.
I think it does more damage by normal means already.
Well, they're increasing the damage and fire rate, but it also it grants infinite ammo.
That's cool.
Yeah, very cool.
And then the other thing is too, she still has her normal healing ability, or if you right click, you give a damage boost to whoever you're sending your beam to. Now, if you use your ultimate, that can chain between multiple players that are around each other, which is great, and it's also buffed. So
it essentially turns into a walking Ariza alt.
Yeah,
I was just thinking that, like an Ariza that heals. That's basically at that point, which is awesome.
So,
but you can also heal and, you know, do damage.
They completely nerfed her current ultimate, but did enough, I think, with her new one and then her other abilities to where I think that's pretty balanced. It seems like it on paper anyway. I haven't played the public test region to try it out. So.
And I'm a Mercy healer. That's the main healer I play as. And mm-hmm. it's not necessarily even for her resurrection. It's a nice thing, don't get me wrong. But I feel like she's a strong healer, and that's what I like. But like I said before, man, when you wipe out a team and Mercy, because the Mercies were hiding, basically, because they wanted to wait for a res to come. And that's what Blizzard said. They said, while we know that resurrection is a focal point of Mercy, we felt that people are just using it and hiding just to do a big team res, and that defeats the purpose of being in the game. And I respect
that a lot. I mean, this is a bold change, because mm-hmm. she's had the exact same play style and abilities for over a year now, and this is a big thing to change. But it also, like I said, on paper seems like great changes, so I'm excited to see how that plays out.
It's in PTR right now, and not only is Mercy changing, but D.Va's getting some more changes for good, and for people might think it's bad. I think it's good all around. So she's getting changes, so her defense matrix is going to be lowered double. Slow down by double?
Yeah, it depletes twice as quickly, and her defense.
Yeah, so her shield's gonna deplete twice as quickly, which, as a Pharah player,
it absorbs any incoming damage in a pretty wide radius around her
for a long period of time. I feel.
Yeah, and it's hard to break her shield.
And so that's being depleted twice as quickly, but now she's also getting a new attack, which is nice.
Yeah,
micro missiles. What that is that she fires a small barrage of rockets that detonate on impact and it deals damage in a limited radius around each explosion. I don't know the cooldown on that yet. I know it's not, like, her fusion cannons, her primary attack, you can use all the time. There's no cooldown on it. There's no ammo reload. Yeah. But now she can use her fusion cannons, and you can shoot the micro-missiles while firing your primary weapon. It's kind of like Soldier, I think.
Is that up in the PTR?
That is up in the PTR right now.
Okay.
And she can also shoot her primary weapons while flying now.
I forgot about that change. That's good, I think.
And we'll see. And one more character got a change. It's not necessarily a huge change, but I do think it makes him a little bit better. And that's that Reinhardt, while holding his barrier, if you hold down the primary key to the left mouse button,
yeah,
you can now view a 360 around you.
As somebody who plays Reinhardt frequently, I love that, because now I can actually pay attention to all my teammates behind me and know when I should move, if there's enemies behind me without having to drop my shield and turn around. Well, that's awesome.
Before, when you drop your shield, you would still hold it, but if you move, it would just bring the shield around. So anybody that you were protecting just got blasted, probably.
I think it's time for an ad break.
Hey, it's Dustin here. We're just going to take this little break in the podcast to talk about our lovely sponsor, Slumberyard Handcrafted. You've heard us talk about it before. He makes custom wood furniture, custom woodworks, and uses a micro sawmill. He likes to specialize in farmhouse, rustic, pallet wood, and reclaimed barnwood styles, and he's now offering live edge and lumber milling for storm damage and fallen trees. These trees and logs can be milled into lumber or live edge boards. You might be asking yourself, what is a micro sawmill? Well, a micro sawmill is a scaled down version of a regular sawmill. He specializes in custom built dining tables,
patio tables, bed frames, headboards, end tables, coffee tables, console tables, very important for people like us, patio tables, outdoor privacy screens, cutting boards, and buffet tables. And honestly, you're going to get great quality from a great person. We've talked above and beyond about how great Josh is as a person and how willing he is to help out a friend in need and all of the care that the products that he works on. I mean, there's not enough good things we can say about this guy. So if you want to get in touch with him, the owner is Josh Kincaid. You can visit his website at www.slumberyardhandcrafted.com. And I know we've talked about it before. You should visit his Instagram. Subscribe and follow him. And that's at slumberyardhandcrafted. Now that's enough for me. Let's get back to the show.
So we all listen to... Well, I should...
This is something different. Usually we don't talk about other podcasts because we're very selfish people.
For the most part, you're correct.
It's all about me.
We're going to talk about a different kind of podcast too. It's called The Adventure Zone.
It's a podcast that's different than most podcasts because it revolves around Dungeons and Dragons. But this podcast is hosted by the lovely McElroy family.
The entire family. It's
great. And it started out as a normal D&D podcast, but Griffin, who DM'd it, the Dungeon Master, evolved it so much more throughout the entire series. And it just ended about 2 weeks ago.
And it's been going on for 3 years, pretty much?
Yeah, since August 18th,
2014. So, I didn't start listening to it when it first came out, but Dustin got me on it pretty early on. So I've definitely been listening to every single episode for the past 2 years, at least.
And I only just got into it, what, like May, April?
Something around there.
Yeah, something like that of this year. Yeah, I came across it randomly, just because I was looking for another D&D podcast to go along with Nerd Poker that I used to listen to. And I think I came across The Adventure Zone when there were maybe 4 episodes out. And I just kind of hopped on the bandwagon early.
It's a weird thing to try and sell to people. Because yeah. Most people are like, oh, D&D, fuck that. Which, I mean, I get it's not for everybody. But the thing is, like, you don't even have to like D&D to really get into this podcast because it's fucking hilarious and some of the best storytelling, especially after, like, they figured out, no, this is going to be a thing. The storytelling's amazing. It's super well written, and the other McElroy brothers and their father have some great characters they make, and then as time progresses, get super into and develop them wonderfully, in my opinion.
Well, and I think what's great is that, especially if you don't really care for D&D, they follow D&D rules, but it's so loose on what they allow and, you know, what they skip and everything that it really makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's much more, as Adam was saying, it's less D&D and much more story driven. That's just how they set it up. Like, there is Dungeons and Dragons gameplay in it. People are going to roll dice, they're going to attack, but the best parts of this entire podcast are their characters and how they role play them. It's not about rolling dice and doing a certain attack. It's just the hilarity and the insane amount of almost Easter eggs or like hints to the final story that Griffin puts in way early on is insanely impressive. And their most recent episode is called the Adventure Zone, which is just them answering questions from people, you know, tweeting at them. And he kind of says, like, they ask, like, when did you really start to put together the final story? And that wasn't until about maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. So, like, for the first year, like, he'd thrown all these stories out there, and then at a certain point in the podcast, he started to, like, okay, I'm going to start attaching this back and back and back, and I'm going to start putting this all together to the you know, to the finale.
I liken him. He's basically the internet's version of Ryan Seacrest, because Batman works on so many things and is in so many different things and has his hands in so many things. It's ridiculous. And while he's working and, you know, making a living, he'd stay up, I don't know how many nights, where just A, editing the podcast, and B, writing the story. And after the last episode came out, he was releasing some tidbits and, you know, facts where he compiled all the writing he did into one word document, and it was over 220 pages long or something like that. It's ridiculous. That's a movie script, basically.
Dude, this whole podcast plays like a graphic novel, like I would watch this TV show. If this was a show, I would watch
it. That,
if this was a book, I would read it. Like, it's that good. It's
like,
insane.
Like I said, selling people on like, oh, it's a D&D podcast, because that's what essentially what it is a tough sell. If you're like, I don't know, that seems a little weird. But the way they tell all the stories and the way it's edited makes it seamless, and it's just a story and something really fun to listen to. If you like listening to radio, like, you'll like this. Or if you're, I mean, hell, you're listening to us blabber on about it right now, like, you're in a podcast, I'd recommend it.
Yeah, to every single person that I've recommended this podcast to, it's kind of that same feeling. Like, it's like, have you ever heard of a podcast called The Adventure Zone? I'm like, no. Well, it's a D&D podcast, you know. It just trust me. Like, it's the only thing you can say is like, just trust me. You have to listen to this. It's insanely good. I did it with Katie. Like, for the longest time, I just kept bugging her. Like, you have got to listen to this podcast. It starts off a little slow because they're gaining traction for the first five episodes.
And they're just learning.
To figure out if it's something they want to do. Yeah. They're just like, hey man, this is D&D. We've never played before. And we're just going to see how it goes. And then it just takes off. And then it's just, hold on for this ride that's insane.
To listen to it for 3 years or 2 years or however long, like, it's really cool and like a bittersweet that it finally came to an end. But it was a fantastic way to end that whole story arc.
Yeah, and it's a story arc that's ending. It's not like they're not going to stop doing it. Yeah,
it's not done forever.
So I wonder how it's going to be going forward. I really think, are they going to be using the same characters? Is it going to be different ones?
I think they're going to be using completely different characters.
Completely different ones. If you, I actually donate to the Maximum Fun Network. That's the network that hosts their podcast. And with that, you get access to our special episodes. Exactly. Hey, Max Fun.
I like your stuff.
We love you. We love you. They have extra episodes where it's called The Adventure Zone Knights, spelled K-N-I-G-H-T-S. And Travis DMs that one. So Griffin plays. And, I mean, I think there's only like three or four episodes out, because they only come out with one a year. And on the last one, Lin-Manuel Miranda played with them and he's a bard,
oh, man.
Obviously, who sings, and it's good. It's really good. And it was kind of interesting to hear somebody else DM a game opposed to Griffin. And, you know, it's just like a little one-off thing, so it's not going to be quite as intense.
Didn't they have the world of Adventure Zone Knights in one of the story arcs of the Adventure Zone?
Yes, they did.
And they got eaten by the darkness.
Yes.
Yes. Griffin had to be like, well, this isn't, sorry, Travis.
And I've tweeted at them before, and basically I told them, I'm like, hey guys, the darkness, or the hunger, is the darkness from Destiny, just so you guys know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we all know Griffin plays Destiny. They gain influence from everywhere, you know, so I can't speak enough good things about this podcast. Like, it felt like when it ended, it felt like finishing a good book. Like, that's exactly how it felt. Like, I was like, man, I just want to listen to it all again. Like, and it's like over 80 hours worth of audio story.
It's 69 episodes. To see what they do. Oh, sorry, what?
I was going to say 69 episodes.
Nice. it's going to be interesting seeing what they do going forward, because I know they're going to take probably a significant break from playing D&D. However, I know they're going to be still releasing episodes bi-weekly, which is how they released the Adventure Zone stuff. But now they're going to be trying different role-playing games, and they're going to switch up who DMs. Like, I think their father's going to be DMing or running game mastering something, so that should be interesting. And then I know eventually they will come back to true Dungeons & Dragons again, and I'm imagining mm-hmm. it'll be completely new characters, because they wrapped everything up in a neat little bow for their old characters.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, they're going to take, like you said, they're going to take a small break. They're going to release some live episodes that they've already recorded with, as they call it, the Trace Horny Boys, as their characters. So we'll still get those little one-off episodes from them. And then I think each one of them is going to take turns DMing a short little thing to kind of test out the waters, like you're saying. And then once they kind of hone in on what the fans like and what they would like to see, then they're just going to take off in the whatever direction that is. So I trust them. I'll listen to every single one.
I just think it's really cool if you do listen from the beginning, and like how goofy and like not serious they were, especially Justin's character Taco. Like, he completely just like goofed around when creating that character, and like just seeing how much those characters developed,
it's truly great. Cool, like, and amazing. So, I mean, for the fourth or fifth time, do yourself a favor and listen to the Adventure Zone, because you won't regret it. Promise.
Yeah, any podcast that can start off with a character's name Taco that you're gonna laugh at, that is trying to invent the taco throughout the story, and then by the time it gets to the end, hearing his name as Taco isn't even funny or weird. It's just his character name, and you just accept it as something normal. You know, it's a good.
Scott,
you know,
come get good. Your podcast seal of approval.
Yes,
stamping it
very much so. Again,
that's basically as powerful as Oprah's book club. Just so you know.
You wait and see. You wait and see.
Again, Maximum Fun. We love you. Hey. Please host us.
Or just say hi, maybe.
Yeah, you know.
Just give us a casual wave, okay?
Without asking for much. Well, I think it's time for some of the audience's favorite segments. In the tweet corner.
Tweet corner.
We have a couple things that were brought up to our attention from our good friend Clovercrest. Thank you, Clovercrest.
You're the best. The real MVP.
So this past week during Gamescom, it was announced that we are going to be getting an Age of Empires 4, which I can't remember when Age of Empires 3 came out.
I don't remember when it came out, but I remember it was.
It's they been went a significant away from time.
It has, and they went away from the medieval knights and stuff, and it was like British America.
Yeah, you know,
colonial
it was a little
times.
More civilization-y.
But. They also had Age of Mythology, though.
That's true.
Which I didn't play too much of, but I do remember it.
Now, there hasn't been too much released in the way of information for Age of Empires 4, but I played the ever-loving shit out of Age of Empires 2 when I was growing up.
Yeah, so did me and some buddies, and I'm not a good RTS player by any means. I'm pretty bad at them, typically, and I would get my ass kicked all the time, but I still love playing them.
My main thing as a kid was to just make all the priests and just go, wololo.
Wololo.
Wololo. Wololo. And actually, earlier today, I found a video on YouTube of 100 priests going up against 100 priests and all saying wololo.
Yeah.
It's tough to listen to, but at the same time, I highly recommend it.
I remember doing the laugh, like, because you could use the numbers when chatting, yeah. And it would do sounds, just doing 11. Number 11 was just that crazy laugh, and just doing it over and over and over, because it had, like, a little, like, bark at the end of it.
Yeah, to be honest, it's been so long since I played Age of Empires 2 that, like, what you guys are talking about is what I mostly remember from that game. I would I'd check out
Age of Empires. Well, they do have a remastered version of Age of Empires 2 on Steam right now.
They do.
And I do own it, and
it's not.
It's just as fun.
It's not every game that you can run up on a farm of an enemy and with your knights and swing your swords at it, and then the farm lights on fire.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Hey, man, I don't need another game to add to my repertoire that I'm not going to beat or play right away, so.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hold off on Age of Empires 2.
Yeah, I might come. I don't have it either.
I
might come back to it eventually.
Yeah.
Clovercrest also asks us, it was announced that we're gonna get a Joker Origin Stories movie. So at CGY Podcast, do we need or want a Joker Origin movie? And he prefers the mystery behind the character.
Yeah, I guess Origin makes it seem like they're gonna have a backstory to the Joker and everything, and I kind of hope there isn't a backstory about how he became the Joker persona. I just hope it's how Joker rises to his fucking craziness.
That could be okay. I don't know. Maybe his parents will be shot in an alleyway outside a theater, too. And his mom's name is Martha.
Well,
and isn't... Isn't there a Batman story in which you see the Joker's kind of origin? Doesn't his wife get killed and then he loses his mind? He
falls into the vat at the chemical plant or something. Like, there's a couple different
versions.
Yeah, like,
he was, like, originally the Red Hood as a criminal. And, yeah, he, like, went to go steal something from a chemical place. And, yeah, he got knocked into the vat of chemicals. And there are a number of Joker origin stories.
This isn't something I want or didn't know I wanted, and I'm still don't think I want it or need it, but at the same time, because I feel that way, maybe there's a chance it could just catch everybody by surprise and be pretty decent.
But I think you should know that Todd Phillips is going to direct it, and he's going to co-write the script with Scott Silver, and it's being produced by Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, they've got some big names attached to this.
Todd Phillips is probably the most interesting to me.
Yes, I was just thinking the same thing. I mean, it is still very early, so...
Yeah, Todd Phillips is going to co-write it, and he's also going to direct it. And then a separate segue into that, in a relation to the Joker origin story, how the Batman movie completely changed.
How's that? I have not heard anything about that.
So Matt Reeves completely took it over.
Right,
and
I knew that.
Ben Affleck is no longer in it. It's a separate story than the current DC universe.
Wait, what?
Yeah, yep.
What? Mm-hmm. Wait.
Yep.
So, the Batman Noir movie that was coming out no longer has Batman in it.
It's gonna be a Batman movie, God. But it's not gonna be related to Batfleck.
So guess what?
I beg to differ. You can't have a Batman movie without Batman in it.
It's gonna have no, guys. It's gonna have Batman in it. It's not gonna have Ben Affleck in it.
Wait,
it's gonna
really?
It's gonna be a Batman movie, but it's gonna be completely separate than the current DC universe, and it's gonna have a different Batman in it.
Okay.
Why?
Depending on who they get, maybe I don't know.
But it.
I thought you were saying they just he completely wrote out Batman in a Batman movie.
That's how I took it first. This also, is a little I was different. Like, what? I'm still.
It's gonna be part of the DC Extended Universe.
WB, come on.
Oh my god. Okay. Well, that makes me leery of this Joker origin movie too. Like, the thing, like, okay, I wasn't a fan of Suicide Squad. I was not a fan of most of the new iterations of the DC movies other than Wonder Woman, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. If I want to see a Batman only film, or if I'm going to see a Joker origin movie, it better be attached to their current iteration of the universe. Otherwise, I don't need another. I don't need Batman to be recast again already. I don't need that.
How would you feel if Leto was Joker again?
I'm okay
in
with
this
that.
Origin movie.
I would be okay with it, mainly because it's then a part of the current iteration of the DC universe. I also didn't get to see, I don't feel like I got to see enough of him in Suicide Squad.
There's not enough for sure, because I keep going from he did okay, it was pretty good, to now he's not that great.
It would have been nice to see him in another DC movie, like a, let's say, a Batman movie with Ben Affleck, where he's also a villain in that, so we could see him on screen a little bit more before I just start to see him in his own origin movie. But like at this point, like if you're going to make a Joker origin movie and it's not going to be Jared Leto, like what are we doing? What have we been doing for the last how many years? Like, am I just supposed to not care about these other movies? Am I not supposed to care about Justice League and any of this? Because now we're going to see
well,
a different casting.
It's not, but if it's a standalone story, they're not going to be, like, they'll still have the same actors for the actual.
Sure.
Canon universe? I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
I have to. Some news came out about the Batman 2 days ago that I had not read yet. It's still going to be part of the DC universe, but it has not been confirmed nor denied that that Ben Affleck is still the Batman. It's going to be a Batman story, but it's just going to be about the Batman. It's going to be part of the universe, but it's not going to have anybody from Justice League in it, which is what Matt Reeves did confirm himself.
That was kind of the...
It's going to be a story not filled with cameos, servicing other stories, that it's going to be a Batman story.
Well, that's what Affleck was still supposed to be directing. Yeah. That hasn't changed, I guess. So that's good.
And that's 100% fine. I actually welcome that, because I don't want to see a mini Justice League movie when it's supposed to be a Batman movie. Which is fine.
With that said, though, the Joker's origin story from the same article I read is not part of the extended universe. So that could not be Jared Leto, or is Suicide Squad part of the extended universe? I don't know. I never read about that.
No, it's attached to the actual, like, what they've been building.
Okay, so probably won't be Jared Leto then.
No, probably not.
Well, then that makes me wonder how early of an origin it is. Like what we're talking, like it might be before the Joker becomes crazy, because then you'd have to cast it as somebody else, because it's going to be years. I would assume year-long, like however many years of torment before he just loses his mind.
Maybe we'll finally figure out how he got those scars.
I would like to see more Batman, because the stuff in Batman versus Superman that they showed, like the Robin suit and him talking about, you know, hinting at previous things in Gotham and stuff like that. It made me really curious, you know.
I honestly think Arkham Knight could be a really good movie.
Oh yeah, I love that game too. It's so good. But it really could be a good movie.
I
don't know.
I mean, I would agree with you. I think it's weird to have any other DC characters in a movie that's not attached to a currently ongoing like run of movies that's supposed to set up to something else. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, it'd be like weird to see Marvel all of a sudden recast Iron Man as somebody else and just have it as a different movie.
Hey, they did that with War Machine.
Well,
that's because Terrence Howard kept saying 1 + 1 = 3.
Yeah, exactly. And I would say that War Machine's a little less important than Batman is to this universe. You know, so it's just weird that you would be like, yeah, I'm going to go watch Justice League with all these characters, and then I'm going to watch either a Batman or Joker movie without these two actors playing them. Regardless of how well they do as the role, I actually like Ben Affleck as Batman.
I do too.
He's great. Fantastic.
Exactly. So, like, I really don't want to see a Batman movie right now without him as Batman. It just doesn't make sense to me. Unless it's going to be like an early iteration of like, this is a young Batman. Then I get it.
Yeah.
You can't really cast Ben Affleck as a young Batman. But then why are we doing that Batman movie would be my question.
Well, I guess.
Unless it's more about the Batman and nothing about Bruce Wayne.
It's supposed to be a detective story. So it'd be more about the Batman versus Bruce Wayne, I would think, just based on that. But who knows? I mean, the entire production might get shut down tomorrow. Like, who knows what the fuck they're doing over WB anymore.
I guess I'll just wait to
see. Justice League comes out real soon, doesn't it?
November.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
So,
Bright and
Rock 2. Are they already cut and run on this whole, like, fuck it at this point?
Well, I mean, I'm a little more excited for Justice League because Whedon did a bunch of reshoots and rewrites. So, I don't know. We'll see. But, if you would like to be somebody who sends us a tidbit of information or a question that we rant about for a good 10 minutes, please tweet us at CGY Podcast on Twitter, or you can send us a message on Facebook too, which you can also find us there by just searching for at CGY Podcast. It's real easy, real simple. So I think we're going to wind down now, and like I said, you can ask us questions or say hi, or we suck at those at Facebook or Twitter, or you can personally send us messages like that on Twitter, and you can find me, and I am at that Adam Guy 9787.
I am at Dusta Rhymes 42.
I am at Myron.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Spread the word. We're up on iTunes and Google Play, as we've stated before, which is awesome. So thank you, Slumberyard Handcrafted, for making that dream possible. Go leave us a rating on iTunes, or at least just bug your friends and say, hey, you should listen to this podcast. Pay it forward, like we did with the Adventure Zone today.
Yeah, pass it along. Exactly.
I was about to say, if you don't like iTunes or Google Play, you can also download the Podbean official app and listen to us on Podbean, which we are also hosted at.
It's very simple, very straightforward, Brad. if you're not an iTunes fan or a Google Play fan, Podbean's a good place to do it. And maybe we'll end up somewhere else, like Max Fun.
Hit those DMs, Maximum Fun. Thanks.
All right. And as is tradition, we will leave you with one final shower thought. A truly crushing moment when you skip ahead on a video and it buffers for so long that continuing to watch it would have just been quicker.
Fucking happens all the time. God.
That's a story of my life.
Thank you again for listening. I'm Adam.
I am
Dustin. I'm Chris.
And we'll see you guys next time in episode 8.
Hey, see you guys. I love you.
Love you.